So it's been a kind of a bizarre day. Yesterday I went to the store, and because we're trying to get away from meat, I almost can't stand it anymore. But I couldn't find nothing to eat in the store, you know. Anyway, I just walked around, I was looking for different food. But you know what, if you take the meat section away, we still drink milk and eat cheese and that, because I love that stuff. But, and fruits and vegetables and stuff. But if you take the meat section away, there's a big chunk of the diet removed. So a while back I went and got some protein powder to substitute, some vegetable protein powder, substitute that from split peas, because the other stuff, I can't remember what it's called, but I don't like that. It's got, something's not quite right with the soybean protein. It's okay to take it once in a while, but it doesn't seem to, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with it, but it doesn't seem to fit right for some reason. Anyway, I'm walking around the store, I couldn't find nothing. Finally, I picked up this little package of meat, put it back down, picked it up again, put it back down, went around, picked it up again, took it home. So we'll just cook it in the slow cooker and cook the crap out of it, and we'll eat it that way. Anyway, I'm just walking with Rudy, and airplane's taking off today. So this morning, I know we ate it, it was good, but it felt a little, I don't know, I can tell when something's not right with food, and I already knew in the store I should have left it, you know. I wasn't following my instinct. That's the problem of getting overtired, you know. You do too much and then, well, you're just not sensitive to that inner guidance anymore. But I knew it, I just wasn't listening. And anyway, we ate it, I could feel something wasn't quite right, but anyway, what it's done is done, so. Oh, there goes a deer. Look at that. Little pucker. So busy talking, I walked right past him and didn't notice it. Anyway, this morning I get up. 6 in the morning, walk Rudy. I come back, I make a cappuccino. Usually Roberta has her cappuccino in bed. So she tries to sit up to drink her cappuccino, almost passes out. Here's the story. A while back, about a month and a half, yeah, almost 2 months now, a friend of mine, Denise, who's my helper with tiling, my work partner, whatever you want to call it these days, she got ill, and that was, nobody knows what it is, but no blood pressure. As soon as she even puts her foot over the side of the bed, she passes out. She was in the hospital for 4 weeks. They couldn't figure out what it is. Nobody could figure out what it is. So, finally the only solution they had was to give her pills to increase her blood pressure, and that took them a week to figure out how much to give her. And that still doesn't solve the problem. It just got her out of the hospital. She can't go any further. Can't even walk around the backyard. Strange, huh? And no answer to what it is. Anyway, that's where Roberta has this morning. So, finally she had to go to the washroom. It got a little better. I got her to sip a little bit of the cappuccino. I says, that'll get your system going, because it's a little octane, you know, a little boost. So, that seemed to help. And then slowly, told her to lift up a little more, lift up a little bit more, and get it going. So now she's better again, she can walk around. There you have it. I don't know what's going on. Don't know what is happening. You know, last year I did some creating. Created the boat. We created the money for the boat from the house. We got the boat. Moved into the boat. A lot of work came my way. Sometimes when you're creating stuff, I know it sounds like I'm getting sidetracked here, but I'm not. I'm going to come back full circle. Sometimes when you're creating, you're just opening the flow and things come, all kinds of things. Sometimes, to some of them, you have to say no, even though at one time you were kind of asking for them. But now they've come and now you may not want them anymore. But anyway, all this work was coming, really gravy work, you know. Lots of money for very little work. You know, $100, $150, $200 an hour. So I sort of hated to turn back and turn it away, so I just went and did it. And then more came and more came. And basically we were working our asses off. Until, of course, we got overtired. Oh, we just stopped here for a minute because we were following along behind the deer. We're just right behind them right now. About 40 feet away from them, there are two of them just looking at us. Anyway, yeah, so I kept on working and going along till I got overtired. Of course, like anything else, you get overtired, you stop doing the creating, and pretty soon you close off and you're just running around. And then, you know, little things, life happens, right? And you take it too hard, and then you look at the negative, start looking at negative stuff. And anyway, you spiral down, and I noticed I was. So I had to stop and say, wait a minute, I'm going the wrong direction here again. So, you know, I shut down, but I had to finish off some jobs, so you can't just shut down. Denise was in the hospital, so the last few jobs I had to finish up myself, which meant twice as much work. Anyway, what happens then is I go back into recreating, and of course I thought about what to create, and started with the 3.6 million, and played with that for a little bit, because that's how I sort of work out what I want. I play with it, adjust it. You know, I started with 100 grand, and then I went, nah, that's not a good number. A million, didn't like that, didn't like how it felt. Anyway, it took a few weeks, and then I worked it out, the 3.6. I just like it, it feels right. And so that's what I chose. But during that time, I'm creating, I'm opening back the flow. Now, over that period, I had some bizarre things happen. My vehicle, I never lock my vehicle, ever. The keys are always in it. So, this time I decided to lock it for some reason, I don't know why, but anyway I locked it. It got stolen. All the tools, of course, got stolen, but we got the vehicle back. But not very much damage, hardly noticeable, not enough to really care about. So I lost some tools, I just replaced them, bought some new ones. Most of them needed replacing anyway, so I wasn't really upset about it. Which is good, because when you get upset about it, then you attract more of the similar stuff. Not necessarily the same stuff, but stuff that gives you the same reaction. So anyway, I wasn't upset about it, it's no big deal, everybody's got to make a living. They chose theirs, and I, by my thoughts and my, you know, instead of continuing on with sending love and flowing that energy, I allowed myself to flow the other direction. So, it's basically my responsibility. So anyway, well, that happened. A few other things happened, and for some reason I can't remember now. What the hell else happened? Let's see, the car got stolen. Oh yeah, a few things happened on the boat. A few items broke down. What else? I just can't remember, and it doesn't really matter, but quite a few things, a little package of things happen. Now, I know this happens sometimes when a person starts creating or starts again. And I don't know exactly the reason, but I've heard reports from people, you know, who started sending love after reading my book, And they said, hey, for a short time all hell broke loose. I wasn't sure if I was doing it right or not. And it's questionable, you know, exactly. I'll tell you my theory in a minute. But it only happens sometimes. You know, some people go and they get immediate good results, fantastic results. Others go through this little thing where all the crap seems to happen all at once, and then it clears up if they keep going, and wonderful things start happening. So, because of my back and forth stuff, playing around, you know, with creating and doing different things and stopping, and then restarting and stopping, and restarting and doing it differently and stopping. Because I'm sort of more playing with this like a research rather than more of a steady process. So, this is the second time that that's happened to me where when I start again, all hell sort of breaks loose. The rest of the time, good things come right away. Now, I originally thought that that came from, you know, when you're creating negative things by feeling down, feeling lousy, feeling depressed, and so forth, we have things coming towards us that resemble that. Now, when we begin creating with sending love and so forth, an opening is created, and there seems to be what I called originally a flushing, and all this crap seems to sometimes come, but it's not always, only sometimes. And like I said, some people never experience it. So, I don't know, it's been years for me for sending love. I've been practicing with that for years. Like I said, I do stop and then start again, kind of thing. And I change, you know, how I do it a little bit, just the creating part and so forth. But the thing is, I don't know exactly what causes that. Also, one theory is, you know, sometimes when we create something, usually when we start, we're in the negative side of it. In other words, we're trying to improve our life. And we're in the negative side of it because we've been looking at the negative side of it. So, when we create, we sometimes think we're envisioning the positive, but we're still inside of experiencing the negative. And that happens with money is a good example because there's only two sides to it, the having and not having. The experience of having and the experience of not having. The experience of abundance and lack of it. So, sometimes when we're looking at them, it feels like we're envisioning the abundance of it, when in reality we're envisioning the not having it. There's a very fine line sometimes there. So, we have to be very careful that we really, when we touch money, think about it, we're really envisioning the abundance of it, the ease of receiving it. And that's done by noticing your feelings. Because when you hold money, when you hand it out, when you pay a bill, if you have good positive feelings, you know you are actually focused on the abundance of it. If you have a negative feeling in you when you're spending it or handing it over or giving it to someone or paying a bill or just counting it or whatever, then you know you're looking at the lack. You're actually focusing at that time at the lack of it. Anyway, so now we've had this clearing thing where all this stuff was happening. So now, you know, Roberta has leukemia, and I thought of working, you know, with love energy to try to cure it, but something in me just kept saying, no, that's not the answer, and I don't know why, but generally I try to follow my guidance. Because if I find if I don't follow my inner direction, it doesn't work out anyway, and it works out to a waste of energy. Oh, those two little deers are still there. See, that's the nice thing. When I do this, when I talk like this, I know I'm vibrating at a level that's good for me, good for the environment. Because otherwise those deers would have already left. But they're settling right down 40 feet away from me. Quite comfortable and at ease. Well, that tells me that I'm on the right track by doing exactly what I'm doing right now. Anyway, with this health issue thing, you know, we can have diseases and issues and so forth and actually live with them. Perfectly normal lives. And in some cases not even know it, that we have them. Because they're there in our bodies anyway. We carry all the strange viruses and everything actually in our body. They're inherently inside. They're just not active. So, we have all that stuff there. It's just not affecting us. And that's what I keep focusing on. And that seems to be my direction. And that's what I tell Roberta. I say, listen, you've got it. But try not to allow it to affect you. And that's really what she's doing. She's continuing with her life. And although the tests in recent months have come to their maximum, in other words, the tests are 100% at their negative. You know, before she was running at what he was calling 75, at 100%, it's getting very dire. I mean, what they're saying is sort of the end is near. Anyway, here's the thing. She's been looking her best and feeling her best during that time. And people have been saying, wow, you look good. Better than ever. See, that's the thing. To fight something or not to fight it. To let go of that and just channel your energy into what you want. Because sometimes by focusing, we're saying, okay, we're healing, trying to heal. And we're sending, trying to send love into that, you know, to heal. We end up inadvertently actually focusing on the illness rather than on the solution. And what is the solution? The solution is actually living happy, joyous, healthy. So, that's where we really need to send that energy and love. And the only way we can do that is to focus on that. And to find something that really makes her heart sing, that we want to get up in the morning for. A passion, something to live for, something to believe in. Anything that's worth believing in is worth believing in. Anything that brings you up in the morning, makes you want to get up, makes you want to live the day, is worth believing in, whatever that is. Doesn't matter if it's a religious belief. Doesn't matter if it's provable or not. If it makes you feel alive, it's worth believing. If it makes you feel good, it's worth believing. If it energizes you, it's worth believing. That's all that matters. Truth in a world that is based on illusion, there really is no truth. There's none to find. So the truth be, if there was any truth, would be to live true to our hearts. And our hearts tell us to search for that which brings us joy. Believe in that which brings us joy. Which excites us, which gives us passion to live. That's important, having passion. You know, appreciation, passion, they're much the same thing. Appreciation opens to flow. Passion directs it. Probably more finer than appreciation. Appreciation directs it also. It opens to flow and directs it. But passion for something means we're appreciating and having passion for it. It's like expanding that and now taking a magnifying glass and using that and focusing the energy into what we love even more. So, see, there's different degrees of flowing love, and there's different degrees of focusing that. Makes sense, doesn't it? Worth believing in. So if there's no healing solution for the, let's say, the cancer a person has, all the doctors say there's nothing. Nothing we can do for you. Then what? Yeah, well, then what? What do you believe in? You can believe in sending love, yeah. That's wonderful. If you can be passionate about it, great. But again, if you send it into, if you think about the disease and then send love into it, you're focusing on the disease. And you're creating then, at that moment, the disease as much as love is trying to heal it. Because we have free will, so we can create for ourselves anything we want. We actually have the right to make ourselves sick. Now, we don't do that with love energy. We do that by resisting that energy. We actually take it out of it. So, by trying to send love directly into, by thinking about a disease and then sending love there, we're actually doing no good at all. We're sort of balancing the two and you stay virtually exactly where you are. So in that sense, that's why every time I thought about healing, it just never made sense. And that's why my direction was never there. My direction was always, I'm always being pushed for looking for something that makes you more happier. See, I'm liking the words happy, joyous. They're not the right words for that. They're okay to start with, but they're not really the right words for that. What we need is something more than those words, but something that directs you into passion, the passion of living. So you're focused, all your energy is focused in that, and that removes the energy from the disease, because the only reason the disease was there in the first place, for some reason, it got energized. Through the thinking and feeling process, it got energized. So it's very difficult to remove it. And, you know, there are some people that probably have those abilities. There are people who have the ability to remove illnesses by temporarily changing the framework and the focus of a person. And so removing the symptoms of it and partially the illness. But if that person falls back in the same routine, well, then that illness tends to come back. So more things are required. A change of life, change of passion. And passion, I'm not talking about passion, love, relationship passion, but something that makes you want to stay here other than fear of dying or fear of leaving this world, of not living. See, that's fear interferes with a lot of stuff. Sometimes we make the assumption we want something, but we're actually running from something else and we want that because of fear. You know, we don't do a lot of things because we're afraid. Whatever, you know, what other people might think. Afraid we can't make a living, we can't survive, who knows. It might not work. Who knows, lots of fear. Anyway, that's what's happening today. So it seems to be straightening back out. Don't know exactly, you know, what's causing this whole issue. I know, like I said, I'm going through a change with the diet. Imagine she's going through a change also, especially since, you know, her illness and the fact that she's actually feeling better with her illness having supposedly be at its worst. So there's lots of changes inside, but how do we ever know really exactly what's going on? We can't always tell. Sometimes, you know, what scares me is when people write and they think I got it all worked out. Yeah, I have the perfect life. But there's still stuff that happens. This is actually part of life. In this framework, this is part of experience. I'm not saying that a person needs to get ill, but this is what we're kind of surrounded with at this time. We have that in our society. So it's kind of there. And you can probably remove a very large part of it. I remove a lot of stuff that happens out of my life. Like, give you an example. Apparently, we don't watch the news at all. I refuse to watch that crap. I mean, negative propaganda, holy crap. So, we've removed it. The odd time I hear something from other people. A quarter of a mile away, there was a bomb scare. A guy had a bomb. He was held up in a store. Everybody's all freaked out. We didn't know nothing about it. Didn't have zero effect on us whatsoever. See, whether it's a quarter mile away or a billion miles or another planet, it only affects you if you allow it to affect you. We had a tsunami warning of all things here, you know, because now, I guess, because of this tsunami that happened on the other side of the world, everybody's afraid now. Tsunami becoming the big news thing. I mean, we heard about it, and it's been a couple of weeks ago, but we just heard about it now. Because we don't talk about this stuff either, and people start talking about news, we back away, change the subject immediately. We're really not interested. Anyway, the point is that guess there was a warning for the West Coast here. And people were packing up their stuff. There was traffic accidents. You name it. I had no clue. Nothing. Did not affect us. It might say if the tsunami came in, it might have affected us. Maybe it would have. Maybe it wouldn't have. I don't know. Can't control that. But I do know what I believe. Right? And this is worth believing in. If it becomes necessary for me to know about it, for my survival, I will be notified in time for me to make a decision and guide it to the right decision on what to do. So I believe in that, firmly. And you know what? For me, it's worth believing in, whether it's true or not, I don't care. That's what I choose to believe. And I believe it enough that I behave according to that belief. It's not one of those beliefs, you know, where you want to believe, but you don't. Your behavior isn't associated with your belief. I think they call that doing the walk. That you're doing, you know, the talk. That you're walking the talk. Yeah, walking the talk. That's what that is. Anyway, that's what I believe. So, I also believe, this is what I believe now. Not necessarily, I believe that the disease that Roberta has, the leukemia, will most likely not go away. Well, maybe someday, way down the road. But most likely, it will stay. Now, I could be wrong, but this is what I choose to believe. But I believe that she will live with it as if she doesn't really have it. And I really believe that it has virtually no effect on her life other than her own thoughts about it. Because mostly what she has is not symptoms of the disease, she has symptoms of a little depression of having the disease. That's the biggest symptom. And also, probably living with me. That's enough to kill anybody. If I could, I'd get the hell out of there. But wherever I run to, I keep showing up. So if I don't show up, my past self or my future self shows up. So what the hell can you do? You are as small as they. So that's what I believe. And so today when that thing happened, I wasn't worried. Of course, she gets that other strange idea, you know, that my lack of worry and panic is lack of caring. But I believe in something. When I believe in something, I believe it, and I act according to it, and that's so. That belief controls my emotions. See, when you really believe something, and it's something you find worthwhile to believe in, then your whole body will behave according to it. It will react according to it. So when something happens, it won't panic because the belief is still there. And that in itself is power, because that gives you power to change the situation. See, when you get wrapped up in the drama, in the fear, and all that happens during those moments, you can't really help. And you're not really going to be sending love either. You can try, and hopefully you will at least. But you'd be too emotionally focused on the negative stuff. You'd actually have to be focused on the positive and have a belief in the positive that in an hour this will cure itself, clear itself up, it will come back to normal, and actually from this, pick herself up and decide, well, I'm going to change my diet for the better. I'm going to be a little more careful about what I eat and where I eat and how I cook the products and how I save them. And I'm going to enjoy my life a little bit more. Sometimes there's nothing better than a little scare. You know, it's like a little kick in the ass. Make up your mind. You want to stay here or you don't. Right? An odd thing, but we do these things to ourselves sometimes. We create things ourselves to sort of kick ourselves in our asses. We don't ever want to really admit that. Well, I admit it. I do it to myself all the time. Because I know myself. That's something I would do to myself. So these are the things I believe. These are the things I choose to believe. Truly, fully, and with joy. Right to the end. So, I hope whoever's listening to this or reading this, that by that you can find some things that you can passionately believe in. Just because they suit you. No other reason. Because they make you feel good, make you feel safe, loved, cared for, whatever. That in itself creates that. People sometimes say, oh yeah, you believe in safety, but you're not really safe, and so you're going to be having false hopes and you make a mistake, and then, well, you see, that's not really believing in safety. That is believing in fear and into the opposite of safety. That's believing in danger and expecting it. That's not really believing in safety. Really believing in safety feels wonderful. And you won't hear people coming up, giving you the negative side of it. Because you're not attracting that. Your pure belief, when it's pure, when it becomes pure, will actually repel those statements from other people. The odd time, very seldom, you might hear a little tiny bit. Mostly, you'll hear it if you have some doubts. And you're not really believing in your belief. Then you'll hear some of that stuff. But that's just there to tell you that, hey, if you choose to continue with this and believe it, you have to infirm this belief. Make it more real for yourself before it actually comes through in your physical reality. Anyway, I think that's it for today. I think I've told myself enough. I'll listen to this tomorrow and see if it makes any sense to me, what I said. See, sometimes when I talk like this, I don't really hear what I'm saying. I have really no idea. Once I turn this thing off, I continue to walk. Oh, I've been walking all along, but if I continue to walk, I won't know what I've said. Strange, huh? I have to actually listen to it afterwards and go, oh, that makes sense, I guess. Yeah, I like it. Anyway, that's it for today.